Good evening to you, and welcome to Midwest Beat. Thank you for tuning in here at 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounge, as your host, and this program is all about music and people who make it. And tonight, we are going to have a Wang Dang Doodle. That's to be sure. We're going to get our mojo working. We're going to shout out the blues, and we're going to feature a true legend of the blues. Future legend, I should say. He's on the rise. He comes from the legendary DNA. You know him, you love him, Mr. Mojo Morganfield. Joseph was back with us, and we're going to play some music from his brand new album, Mojo Rising. And we may slip a few from his pops in there, too. So stay with us. It's 89.1 FM and Midwest Beat. Muddy Waters has his mojo working. He's working overtime, in fact. And you know, the mojo of Muddy Waters is still working and working hard. In fact, it's working right here tonight on the Lakeshore. 89.1 FM, this is Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and the mojo himself is here. Joseph Mojo Morganfield, Muddy's youngest son. And you are here to celebrate the release of your EP, which came out about a month ago.
That is correct. Hello, and Indiana.
It's doing well. You know, you're the feature artist at the Record Bin, and we started off with 10 copies. I'm down to 3. That means we've sold 7 in the last 2 weeks.
That's great news. Thank
you. That is good stuff. So, again, this is a 4-song EP. We're going to get to all 4 songs before we bid you farewell this evening, but I just wanted to catch up with you a little bit. It's been a while since we talked. What's going on in the in your world now that the EP is done?
Well, with the EP being released, we're getting some great feedback on it. People are playing it on the radio, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just people getting great reviews, people liking it, and it was pretty much put out to be a filler to set up more gigs, and it's actually doing its job.
Good, good, good. And you have a full length coming out. We're shooting the first quarter of
Quarter next year in 2019, so we're going to put our full CD out.
Now, will these 4 songs we're featuring tonight that are on the EP be included on
at
that?
At least 2.
Okay.
I'm not sure of all 4, but definitely 2 of them will be.
All right. Yes. So this is a teaser to let people know who you are and what you're all about.
That is correct.
Keeping the mojo going and the DNA bloodline going. And you recently went down and performed with your brother.
Yes.
Now, that was a kind of a tribute to your dad. Was that in Texas?
That was in Texas.
All right. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, first time I performed with my brother, Bill. I got 2 brothers. So
okay.
Big
There's
Bill.
Mud and Big Bill.
That is correct. We performed together at the Blues Fest 2 years ago.
In Chicago.
Yes. So we performed again in Texas, and it went well. I got my set, and he did his set, and we combined some songs, so it was great.
People What's it that. Like to sing with your brother? Are you singing your dad's songs with your brother?
Some, I sing a couple of my own originals.
Okay.
And then he sang his, and we do it. Since it was a trip to Muddy, we had to do some Muddy songs also.
Obviously.
Yes.
That's got to be kind of surreal to be up there singing legendary songs that you know your dad made, and
yes.
He is the icon, and you and your brother are both up there doing his music, keeping it alive, and the people are probably going crazy.
It was great. I've been a fan of Bill since he started, and even just to be up there with him, it was like incredible for me.
Now, is Bill the oldest or is Mud the oldest?
Mudzill is actually oldest. Mud's the oldest, Bill is the second, and I'm the youngest.
Now, how long have they been performing respectively? How many years have they been out there?
I'm going to say Bill at least 20 years. Okay. Mud's about maybe 10, 11. And I'm about two.
Well, you are the youngin. What's cool is that you actually grew up in the house in Westmont.
That is correct.
Where Muddy, it's like a shrine now to blues fans. People go there, and that was just home to you.
It was home. You know, once we left Chicago, we moved from 43rd to Westmont. I don't have too much history on 43rd. Mm-hmm. I was probably there not even a year before we moved to Westmont.
And for the folks listening out there, 43rd is now known as Muddy Waters Drive.
That is correct.
And just last Friday, we had Otis Wilson of the Cashbox Kings on the show here. And Otis was talking all about Muddy's roots there. And he made a point to say, you know, yeah, it's 43rd, but it's Muddy Waters Drive. So it's an honorary drive. Were you there when they christened that?
Oh, yes. At the time, Harold Washington was the mayor, actually. Mm-hmm.
And I got to be meet really him. Young.
I think I was
20?
Maybe it's freshman, sophomore in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we came home for the summer, met Harold, met Dorothy Tillman. So it was great. I got a street sign, so I was excited.
You know, maybe they'll have some little little branches off of Muddy Waters Drive. They'll say Big Bill and Mud and Mojo. You know, it's all going to be coming down the road.
Not enough streets.
Not enough streets. Ah, the blues. How long, you mentioned you're professionally now performing about 2 years. How long have you been wanting to be a blues singer?
Oh, Jesus, from day one, all my life. Mm-hmm. Practicing, looking at myself in the mirror with a brush in the shower. pretty much I've been around it all my lifetime. I've been bitten a long time ago by the blues.
Why did it take so long?
Life. End up getting married, having children. And at the time, you know, and even now, they were my first priority. Mm-hmm. Making sure they got through school and watching them grow.
How old are your kids now?
Oh, Jesus. My youngest boy is 17. Excuse me. My youngest daughter is 17. My youngest boy is 18.
Okay. Yes. So they're pretty much ready to leave the nest.
Yes, yes.
So you've got a little more time to get your thing going now.
That is correct.
Now, you're playing with an incredible band called the Mannish Boys, and Z with a Z on the end.
Boys.
From Illinois. But one of the guys playing in the group has some history with your dad, correct?
That is correct, Rick.
And Rick was
his last name. He was my father's last guitarist. Rick been with my dad's band. I watched Rick when his hair was red, not gray. But Rick, you know, he brought that sound, and he just improved that sound with my band a thousandfold.
Now, your set, it is a tribute to Muddy, but as you mentioned, you have your own material. What's the breakdown on it at this point, and what do you think in the coming year? Are you going to be adding a lot more of your originals?
Well, right now, it's mostly Muddy as I get started, because it's all I know. But I just did two songs, two originals. The plan is to get more originals and eventually just break off completely. Well, I'm always going to play my dad's song in tribute, but I want to establish my own identity.
And it's interesting to note that, you know, the Delta Blues was born in the fields of Mississippi, and you have a song about Mississippi, which I assume is about your roots.
That is correct.
All right, we're going to play that. This is one of the originals, and this is off Mojo Rising. This is Mississippi Found Me. Check it out.
Baby, those big hands set me down. A voice as big as history said someday you'll be found. 100 years before you, your name was in the book. She'll find you when she's ready. She would know right where to look. Mississippi found me. Mississippi found me. On the seventh hour of the seventh day, she found me from 700 miles away. Mississippi.
Mississippi find me. Oh, yes, she did. Like a spirit from the Mississippi mud, the whisper in my dream, the fever in my blood. They wrote it in the stars, yeah, they wrote it in the bones. That chariot come a swinging for to carry me on. Mississippi found me. Mississippi found me. On the seventh hour of the seventh day, she found me from 700 miles away. Mississippi found me. Whoa, yes, she did. Mississippi found me.
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 On the seventh hour of the seventh day, she found me from 700 miles away. Mississippi found me. Whoa, yes she did.
Mississippi found me.
Mississippi found me.
And you found Mojo. He's
yes,
right
sir.
Here. 89.1 FM, and that is his song, Mississippi Found Me. His bloodline hails from Mississippi, home of the Delta Blues. His dad, of course, Muddy Waters. We've had some great blues artists. The last week here has become Lakeshore Blues, I think. We had Shamika Copeland last week. Of course, her father, Johnny Copeland. Johnny Clyde Copeland is a legend in his own right. We've had the Cashbox Kings here. They were talking about, Otis was talking about growing up with like all these famous cats hanging out with him. Elmore James, people like that, coming to his pop's house.
And incredible.
You have those stories too, Joseph. You were telling us last time here that Eric Clapton stopped by and all the girls suddenly started coming around.
That was my magnum, Eric.
Wow.
Yes, he came. He came to the house a lot of times. He was my father's best man in marriage. Another time, he came just to be visiting, so we saw him often at the house. Excuse me.
Now, do you see a lot of celebs now? And I know you just saw another former Yardbird, Jeff Beck, because I was there. It was very cool when we were all backstage and Paul Rogers of Bad Company and Free met you and was very humbled by the fact of who your father was. And you guys talked for a while. And then he and Cynthia says, you've got to meet Jeff. He's got to meet you. He wants to meet you. It's like, okay. So we all went over there and I just remember Jeff Beck kind of taking a bow and you look very confused. And I remember him saying something to the effect of, if it wasn't for your dad, we wouldn't all be here, or
exactly.
Something to that effect.
That is correct.
And you just looked very shocked, and I was thinking, wow, how cool is that? Jeff Beck is bowing to Mojo because of his dad.
That
I mean, that's
correct.
How much impact your dad still has. And he passed in 80, 81?
83, actually.
83.
Yes.
So
that was actually, it was shocking. One of the greatest guitarists ever. I should have been bowing to him.
Right.
But that just showed you how much influence my father had on people.
Now, what's interesting is that Connie Carroll, who shoots all your publicity stuff, got a good shot of you guys cracking up. Now, I wasn't privy to whatever you were talking about. I was kind of standing to the side with Paul Rogers. But Connie captured you and Jeff. And Jeff rarely smiles in pictures. I mean, I don't know if you've seen a lot of his shots. He's very stoic looking. But you guys were just cracking up. What were you talking about? Do you remember?
Jeff shared the story with me. when he first met my dad,
okay,
he thought Muddy was unapproachable. He was afraid to go up.
Kind of like we thought Jeff was.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And his band members at the time and his friends told him not to do it, that he wouldn't talk to him. So Jeff took a chance and went anyway. So when my dad engaged him and started talking with him, you know, the whole band behind him was like shocked. So Jeff turns around toward the band and does this with his hand.
It's an obscene gesture. Wow.
I thought it was hilarious, though.
That's funny. Yeah. I wondered what you were talking about, because I see that picture on your Facebook page, and I'm thinking, what were they laughing about? It was one of those moments where you wanted to be the fly on the wall.
Exactly.
And I don't know how early on in Muddy's career that was, but I know in, what was it, 82, I think it was, when he played Point East, I went backstage to see if he was all right, and as I told you before, he was so cordial, so sweet. And he's like, sit down, young man, you know, thanks for visiting. You know, I mean, he was on the break from his show, and I was just worried that, because he looked like he was pretty worn out. And this was, well, he was sick.
It's true, he probably was sick, yeah.
It was the last time he played there, actually. The next time he was booked is when Willie Dixon Trio filled in for him.
Really?
Because he was too ill to play. And I just remember your dad being extremely nice. I think I spent maybe 2 minutes with him. And that's when his manager, Scott, came in and kicked me out. He's like, you got to leave now. I said, but it's our club. He says, I don't care. He's my artist. You need to leave now. I'm like, okay.
That sounds like Scott. But, you know, Dad was very approachable. You know, we go shopping in town and, you know, we didn't have bodyguards or we drove ourselves and people would come up. He would sign autographs. People would knock at the door. And, you know, he was just someone you can approach, you know, very humble.
And I think that is very evident in yourself. Now, you're not at that level yet. I think you might be someday, but you're not at that level yet. But still, because of who you are, a lot of people gravitate to you when they find out you're somewhere, if you're in the crowd. I saw that at the Dwayne Allman concert. Not Dwayne Allman. What am I saying? Devin Allman.
Devin, yes,
If we were at Dwayne's, we'd be somewhere else. The Devin Allman concert with... that they just did in Valparaiso. And when people found out you were there, people just started kind of hovering around you. And you were so nice to everybody. Now, at a certain point, you got to say, I just want to see the show, man. You know, just let me sit down, have a beer, and relax. But you were talking with everyone. People wanted pictures, including Devin and his band.
Yes, that was great meeting those guys.
You know, they were like, come on back. He's really here. It's like they all took pictures. And it's like the sons of the sons kind of thing. You know, it was like the progeny of blues. I mean, you've got Greg Allman's son, you there. Dickie Betts' son was there. I
think Kenny Kinsey was there, wasn't he?
Kenny Kinsey was there. That's right. That's another wonderful shot of laughter.
Big Daddy Kinsey.
Yeah. So we had all these famous sons of famous folks there. And it was nice to see how accessible and approachable everybody was. Kenny's always, and so's Donald and Ralph for that matter.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, it's good to see that you are taking everything in stride, because right now is your time to shine, and you got your first record out.
That is correct.
And you got the full length coming. Let's play another one. Let's do one where you cover your dad. This is probably my favorite song. I don't know. I do like Let's Play Chess, which is another original we're going to get to, but I do like this song a lot. This is a classic. Is there a reason you covered this
one? Is it Can't Get No Grind? Which one is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you a story behind that.
All right.
Do we have time?
Yes, we do.
This is the first song I actually learned of my dad's. I was in third grade, and I took a 45 to school for a show and tell.
Third grade?
Third grade.
Did you not know what the song
was about?
We didn't
know the really lyrics, no. Okay. But we played it anyway. But this song always helped me dearly, because I go way back. It's like the first song I learned of my dad's.
Wow. Yeah. So if you are out there grinding right now, that's okay. This is your soundtrack. Mojo.
Hello, corn. morning I put in a sack. I can't eat to the meal, had to bring it right back. What's the matter with the meal? What's the matter with the meal? Can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal. Some people said that a preacher won't steal. I caught one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the meal? What's the matter with the meal? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal. Grind, Reese. What's the matter with the meal? What's the matter with the meal? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal? You won't steal. I caught one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the meal? What's the matter with the meal? I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal.
What's the matter with the meal?
Sun broke down, baby.
Sun broke down. Oh, that is Joseph Mojo Morganfield and the Mannish Boys. Off the Mojo Rising EP, which has been out now for about a month or so. And again, over at the Record Bin in Hobart, it has been a hot seller. He's the artist of the month there. And we had an initial order of 10. We're down to, I think, 3 left.
Great.
And it's doing well. Now, you've got a hell of a band, too. Why don't we talk about some of the band members that you're featured here that are also your live band?
That is correct. My Reese Dave Vaughn. How can you forget him?
Yeah, he was signed to Alligator. He had some movie soundtrack work.
Yes, he told me about that. Yeah,
I call him Mr. Hollywood now, wasn't right? It? Wasn't it a baseball movie? I'm trying to remember.
I'm not sure.
It was an 80s thing, I think.
Mr. Anyway. Hollywood.
Yep. And he's been here, and he's incredibly talented on keys and vocals. And,
guitar also.
Yeah, guitar.
Yes.
Mike Flynn, let's talk about him.
Mike, Dancing Mike, he's a brother of Billy Flynn. Mike's been with me from day one since I started this journey.
And he is a bass player. We've got Paul Hanover on blues harp.
Paul's a great addition. Paul plays the harp. I like his style. We like how he fits in with us.
He was good on that last track.
Oh, yes.
He was wailing on that.
Got a lot of great reviews with that harp play on this EP.
Chris Alexander, I really want to see him play because I got a little taste over at the Highland Fest,
yes.
And he looked like he was ready to cut loose, and then the rains came, and of course, he was the last man out, but he didn't get to play. But I want to see Chris. How did you come across Chris?
Chris is phenomenal, actually. Actually, Connie put me in his direction.
Okay.
We were looking for a drummer. First one didn't work out, and she go, hey, you should check this guy out. He's good. So we invited him to a couple of rehearsals, and it was...
What's his background? He's got to have been with somebody, because he just is phenomenal.
First, his father was Danson Perkins, famous bass player.
He came to
from
the
Maxwell.
Gig.
Yes.
That's right, from Maxwell
yes,
Street.
Yes, he was legendary on Maxwell. So Chris has a background in music from day one since a youth.
Wow.
But he's been playing drums from his father, I want to say 8, 9 years old. Somewhere along there?
On Maxwell Street.
Yes.
On Maxwell Street.
Yes, gigging with his dad.
So. Which is the blues place to go.
That is correct.
Wow. Grab some fish and some blues.
Yes,
down
yes.
On Maxwell Street.
A little french fry.
Well, we've got, let's see, on drums. We just talked about drums.
Yes,
we're talking about Rick Kraher.
Kraher.
Kraher. And he's on guitar and background vocals. What's Rick's story?
Rick's one of my father's last guitarists.
Oh, we did talk
yes,
about
yeah.
that.
Mike Willa got one song going. We just forgot to mention Mike.
Okay.
Mike played lead on Mississippi Found Me. So he actually spiced it up, and thank you, Mike, if you're listening.
Now, does he ever travel with the band?
No, Mike has his own band. He just filled in for us for this one song.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you recorded this when? This past summer?
I want to say August.
July, August?
So yes, yes.
All right. And is there a reason that you decided to... let's put this. What is the process now with the writing with you? Because you did two and two. You did
yes.
two originals, two covers. And I can understand... Because of the name, because of the heritage, because that is a buzz,
right.
That you're
going
to use your dad's songs on here to kind of get a leg up. But you also have two really strong songs. We're going to play the other one in a few minutes. But what's the writing process and plan at this time?
Well, there's a writer named Terry Aberson. Excuse me. This guy actually wrote for my father. He actually wrote a song that won a Grammy for my dad.
Wow. What song was that?
It was Limited to Abba, Unk and the Funk. That song right there.
Okay.
Yes. Well, anyway, to have Terry and his partner, Derek Purcell, they wrote Let's Play Chess and Mississippi Found Me. So the whole point of this was see if lightning would strike twice.
Okay.
But Terry's a great writer. I've been writing for years. Him and Derek Purcell, great team. And
now, is he writing for the album, the full album? Are you working more with him? Are you looking for outside writers?
We are doing some writing ourselves. I'm sure he will contribute maybe a couple songs. So right now we're just gathering material.
What's interesting, too, is a lot of people assume or that don't know, Muddy Waters did a lot of interpretations of Willie Dixon songs.
That is
very
correct.
Famously.
Yes.
And a lot of people think, oh, Willie was the writer, Muddy was the singer. But Muddy was more than a vehicle for Willie. He wrote a lot of songs, including Can't Get No Grindin'
that we just heard.
Your
yes,
dad wrote
yes,
that.
Yes, he wrote that song.
So he was quite the songwriter as well.
I remember, and he would tell me, always leave a pad and a pencil at the bed. You wake up and think of something, write it down, because you'll forget it in the morning.
Has that worked for you yet?
Yes, yes. Or I'll just type it in. We got phones now, so it's easier.
Yep. A lot easier.
Yes.
Wow. So you're going to be playing this weekend at the Slippery Noodle. Correct? Is that still the Slippery Noodle?
Slippery Noodle. That's like the oldest bar in Indiana, I heard.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been the college place for years.
My dad played it, actually. I seen a guitar of his in there.
Wow.
Yes, I was impressed.
And that's the 20th?
Yes, next Saturday. Well, this coming Saturday, yes.
Now, is that just you and your band, or is it a festival?
No, it's just me and my band. We got the lead. We got the cover. So
wow.
We headlined that one.
Now, is the blues scene pretty strong in the different places you've been right now? Are you seeing a resurgence in blues?
I think it really seems like. Yeah, it is. It's like it's coming back.
I'm getting more blues artists on this show. That kind of tells me. That
from the vineyard, the turnout, the people that comes. Actually, with Highland, we had a washout, but
yeah.
I'm sure
blow,
they
wind,
came.
Blow.
That one song.
You can never open your shows with that, ever. Ever.
I heard.
Because the sun was actually up when your band took the stage, if you remember.
Yes.
You and I were sitting by the trailer, and they were doing a couple of kind of early songs on their own, and then it was going to be star time. You were going to walk on, and the sun was on for the first song. Second, a little overcast. Third song, you walk up, blow, wind, blow, and boom.
The gods heard me, huh?
That was just too funny.
Yeah, we would never open with that song outside again, though.
Wow. So other than the Slippery Noodle this Saturday, are there any dates in the area coming up?
Not in the area, no. We got a tour coming in California.
Okay.
I want to say January 13th, 12th, for like 2 weeks.
All right. So does the whole band go with you?
Are we trying to negotiate the whole band coming? So
as opposed to working with the pickup band, yes. Which a lot of blues artists do.
Speaking of that, I went to, where would you go? Mississippi.
Yeah.
With a pickup band. That was like disastrous. So now I'm insisting either on a rehearsal or bringing my own band with me.
Well, you have to rehearse. Yeah, I mean, even with a pickup
band. But some of these
band.
Guys, they won't even rehearse. You get the material and you assuming they went over it. And come showtime, it's like, what are you playing?
Right. And the thing is, with blues artists, it's all about feeling.
Exactly.
So it's not like you can send them charts.
No.
Like a jazz band. I mean, a lot of jazz headliners will come out, they'll fly in. These guys can play anything with anyone.
Exactly.
But blues is all about the feeling of it.
Yeah, that's why you got to insist on a rehearsal before you perform with another band.
Where did you play in Mississippi where that happened?
I went to, what's the name of that? It was the college, Delta State University.
Okay.
Yeah. Cleveland, Mississippi. Excuse me. Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah. It was maybe like a half hour from Clarksville.
Wow. Which is
the birthplace.
The place. Yes, the birthplace. Yes. The Robert Johnson legend and all.
Oh, yeah.
The
crossroads.
Did you go?
I've been there before, but not that particular trip. Though.
Okay.
No.
is there a hoodoo there? I mean, do you feel it when you go to Clarksville?
Yes.
Liz Mandeville said that she wanted to go there to absorb. You know, like a sponge, suck
there.
It in. You can.
I
feel
went
it.
To the plantation my dad grew up on as a sharecropper, Stovall, and we walked around, and I just couldn't believe how big this place was, Tom.
It's still there.
It's still there. Yeah.
Is it still a farm?
It's not. They don't do cotton anymore. I'm not sure what they do again. But it's still operational. It's there.
Wow.
Yes. And I can just the size of it, and I'm looking back, thinking my dad actually. Worked here, you know.
He
as a
actually
sharecropper.
Picked cotton there and worked in the fields and put in those 15-hour days in the sun.
Drove a tractor. He was here, and then I'm just like, and I went to this porch that he used to play his guitar on. Got to see the very porch that he stood there on the chair. It's a famous picture of him on that porch with a violinist.
Okay, yeah. I don't think I'm familiar.
I have
to
show you that picture,
that
but yeah, but I got to see that very porch, and it was like.
Now, when did he leave the Delta and come to Chicago? Because like so many blues artists, they migrated here to find work in steel mills.
That is correct. I want to say 1942, 43.
And when did he start with Chess? That was 50? 49?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say sometime in the 50s, though.
All right. Yeah. So he worked here for a while, building his name.
That is correct.
And then suddenly...
He took odd jobs. He used to drive trucks. One time he told me he was a DJ
on the
radio. And the people would call in yelling because he would talk during the songs.
You know, but the thing is, a lot of famous blues dudes did that. We had Rufus Thomas.
Okay.
Rufus Thomas was a DJ. BB, of course, started.
Exactly.
Blues Boy King.
Yes.
That's where he got the BB from. There was a lot of artists that started out
he was actually
doing
a DJ
work.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, he recorded with Chess. At the time he recorded, they didn't release it right away. They sat on it for a couple years before they did it.
Now, wasn't he one of the first artists at Chess?
Definitely, yes.
Because I know Willie was the producer, arranger, songwriter, and also a performer, but he was the man in the studio that kind of made
it over.
I think
it was Aristocrat, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Okay.
Before the Chess Boys bought it, and then they changed it to Chess.
Okay.
Yes.
And then later it became Jerem Studios, which I don't think lasted too long.
No, not at all. Right now, I think Willie Dixon's family has it now. I can't think of the name of it.
Is it the working studio still?
Actually, they're fixing it. They're about to make it a working studio again.
That would be a gold mine.
Yes.
Look at
Sun. You got to get Jackie on here and get some details from her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got to do that because look at Sun Studios. Jed, his nephew, I think it's his nephew, Sam Phillips' nephew, I believe it is, runs it now. But people pilgrimage to Memphis to record at Sun Studios.
Exactly. Is that where Elvis
That's
recorded?
Where Elvis.
Yes,
but
I'm
that's
familiar.
Also where Howlin' Wolf and those guys cut the blues. Before it was rock and roll, it was a blues
exactly.
place.
Yes.
You know? And that's why Sam Phillips said, if I could find a white guy that can sing like a black man, I'll have $1 million. Because he had worked with all the blues guys.
Exactly.
But of course, the blues records weren't getting on the airplay.
Not at all.
You know,
no.
Times were different, and he needed a white kid to sound blues that he could cross-pollinate. And, of course, that did help kickstart. A lot of people didn't like Elvis because they felt he kind of ripped off the black culture. But at the same time, he opened the door So that we did get a lot of play with black artists.
I think it was because back that time also, those hips he was swinging.
He was swirling doing the grind. He was doing the grind. All right. Speaking of Chess Studios, you have a song, and it's another original. It's the second original on here. Mm-hmm. And it is an homage to Chess Records.
It's a tribute to all the Chess artists who've been through those doors. You got Dixon, Muddy Waters, and Howlin' Wolf, Etta James. You know, we couldn't
Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley.
We couldn't put all the names in there, but
there's a few mentions in there that you do reference your dad, but yes, not by name.
Not by name, because I didn't want to put his name because I'm singing the song,
right?
And just his song alone, the title, you'll know what I'm talking about.
All right, well, let's play it. This is called "Let's Play Chess." It's an original tune, and you can find it only on Mojo Rising, the EP from my guest Joseph Mojo Morganfield.
You're feeling blue. You're looking down. Well, we're gonna rock away that frown. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. They gave the blues Chicago soul. Taught the world to rock and roll. Otis Rush and Otis Band, Maybelline and I'm a Man. Baby, let's play chess. Let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess. Coco comes to fuss and fight. Jimmy Rogers say that's alright. The Mannish Boy, the Seventh Son, Howlin' Wolf, and I ain't done. Baby, let's play chess. Oh, let's play chess. We're gonna throw a mess. Baby, let's play chess.
Baby, let's play chess. Chess Records, that is. Michigan Avenue, famous place where all the legends began. And we did a little research. Tom Maloney here, who used to host the Blues Show here, and is a blues fan. Loving that Mojo's in the studio with us and engineering for us. He was looking some stuff up. And Muddy was, in fact, the first artist signed to Chess. In fact, he was signed when it was...
Aristocrat. That is correct.
And that was in 47 he got signed. 48 they changed to Chess Records, and well, the rest is history. And, you know, you always hear about the big three or four artists, but they had so many people that worked at Chess.
Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Willie Dixon, Oh, God, Muddy out of
Buddy,
James.
Buddy played there.
Buddy did record there.
Yeah, yes, but yes. That was later.
It was later, yes, yes. But that first class, Little Walter, all those guys.
Little Walter, that's right.
Harlem Wolf. That's the first class.
Wow. Now, you have played with Buddy, correct? You know Buddy.
Yes, I know.
Have you played with him?
I haven't had the privilege yet, no.
Okay. Now, you played at Buddy Guy's Legends.
Several times, yes.
But you have not played with Buddy himself.
No.
Now, Buddy knew your dad.
Yes, he did, yes.
So what does he think of you stepping into those shoes?
Well, you know what? He's seen two prior to me, so I'm not sure. He witnessed Bill and then Mud, and so I have yet to get a feel for that yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you are an ambassador of the blues. You have been sanctioned as such by the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So because of your bloodline,
that is
you
correct.
You have already got that first step up.
Promoter also.
Yeah.
And my next is to get become an artist, Chicago Hall of Fame artist. Yeah, that one I have to earn myself, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you're promoting, what were you doing as a promoter?
Just promoting my dad, my brothers. Like I said, my thing at the time was to keep Muddy Waters' legacy alive.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the sidelines, I would promote him and promote my brothers. That's first and foremost. It was to keep our dad's legacy going.
Now, one of the things that you helped do, and I know there's a famous picture on your Facebook of it, is the mural of your dad in Chicago.
Oh, man.
And then you're standing in front of it, beaming with pride. and it's great because you can see the physical resemblance between the two of you. You can tell that you are, in fact, Muddy's bloodline.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that mural and how that all came about. And where exactly is that?
That's 17 South State Street Avenue, State.
Okay.
I think I'm right. It's around 17, 16, but it's on State Avenue. State Street, excuse me. Chicago contacted us, and it was in the works. They found the artist. I can't give you his name. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But and while they were working on it, and we would know it was coming. But once it was finalized and finished, they got the family together, and we did have a big ceremony. That was the first time I got to perform with both brothers at the same time.
Wow. Now, how long ago was that?
That
two
was
years?
Like 2 years ago, yes.
How big is that? I've seen all these different pictures, but
huge.
Can't tell the size because of the pictures.
I can't
tell where you're at versus, like, okay. It's not like you're standing against it. You're kind of way in the front, so it looks big behind you.
You got a picture with me, like, in a suit? I think
you're in a suit.
I'm in front of a window. That's not even the mural.
Oh.
The mural's on a building.
Okay.
Yeah, so that gives it no justification.
Wow. Yes. So it's just really, really big.
Yes.
Okay. How long did it take him to do that? Do you know?
I want to say about a year, if I'm correct.
And it's multicolored.
Multicolored. It's just beautiful, man. It's a color. It's a tribute to the father of Chicago Blues. It was fitting, and we were just very grateful.
Did you get do you think there was any? Oh, Eduardo Corba.
Thank you.
Tom Maloney to the rescue.
Thank you, Tom.
Eduardo Corba did the art. Now, there's a lot of famous blues people in Chicago.
That is correct.
Muddy being among the best and the best known. Did you get any kind of, was there any debate? Was it voted upon, like who should be on the mural, or was it hands down Muddy was getting it?
You know what? We didn't have a say, of course, but I would have think it was Muddy hands down, though. But that's a biased opinion.
Right. Now, I remember working with your dad, and he had a crack band behind him. And the thing is, it always seemed like he didn't have a set list. It always seemed like he was just calling stuff out. Do you know if that was the way he worked? Because it seemed very loose.
I've never seen a set list. Not what I take, the practice and rehearsals and gigs.
Because I used to try to collect set lists from people. And when he was playing, I was like, there's never a set list.
But, you know, once they rehearsed, I think they knew it. They knew the songs. They knew what they was going to run. And it was like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the biggest lesson that you learned from your dad that you now carry? Now, he's been gone a long time. You were very young. And most young people, Mom, you know, I'll take that lesson home. We don't really pay attention. And years later, we think, gosh, we should have listened more. What was the thing that you have brought with you to your career that you either witnessed or learned firsthand from your dad?
Just to be humble and gracious. You can never be arrogant thinking because if you made a record or if that's a successful record, that you're unapproachable now.
Okay.
I'm always going to keep it humble.
We have another song I want to get to. We're getting tight on time. We've got about 10 minutes left, and this is almost 5 minutes long. This is one that your dad wrote. Is there a reason that's who's going to be your sweet man? Is there a reason you chose this out of his vast catalog to cover?
Yes, there is. This is a song a lot of people didn't know. I didn't want to record Mojo or Manish Boys,
right?
The ones that's pretty popular. This is the one I do great karaoke to at night. And it was one a lot of people, if they didn't know, didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back.
It struck me as one I didn't remember.
Exactly.
And you said, that's my dad's. When I was playing the EP the first time, I'm like, is it? I had to go back.
But yeah, we wanted to just grab something that was different. And I think we struck gold.
All right, this is it. Again, this is the final of the four tracks on Mojo Rising, a new EP that is out now everywhere and online at josephmojomorganfield.com. This is Who's Gonna Be Your Sweet Man? Mojo covering his dad.
I wonder who gonna be your sweet man when I'm gone. I wonder who gonna be your sweet man when I'm gone. I wonder who'll love you, who's gonna carry your business home. Look at that pretty little girl, she walking down the street, just laughing and playing with every man she meets. I wonder who's gonna be your sweet man when I'm gone. I wonder who'll love you, who's gonna carry your business home. Sweet man when I'm gone. wonder who'll love you. Who's gonna carry your business home?
Who's gonna be your sweet man? McKinley Morganfield wrote that one,
yes,
better
sir.
Known as Muddy Waters.
Muddy Hoochie Coochie Waters.
I've also seen Muddy Mississippi Waters.
Oh, it's been a little
I've seen it. I've seen so many variations, a.k.a. this. How did he get the name Muddy Waters? I mean, obviously, McKinley Morganfield doesn't roll off the tongue for like a stage name. But now, back then in the blues scene, I mean.
That was a given name as a kid. His grandmother called him Muddy. From playing in the Mississippi River, Dead Creek.
Okay.
Playing in the river, and he come out all muddy, and that name stuck. He added the waters on later, but they would call him Mud or Muddy at an early age.
Wow. I always wondered why he got that nickname.
Yes.
Every other blues guy is Blind This or, you know, Blind Lemon Jefferson, Blind Lemon Jackson,
well, his,
Blind
actually,
Willie
his,
Mattel.
His grandmother gave him that name.
Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting. I like that. What is your dad's, what was your dad's favorite song, if you knew that?
Oh God,
do you know?
I couldn't even answer that.
Okay.
No.
You have a few other, we have a few other musicians we want to talk about here. And again, we didn't dwell too much on your band. Let's give a couple more shout outs to them because they sound awesome on this record and live.
Yes. Let me first acknowledge, Terry Abramson and Derek Purcell.
Okay.
Purcell, both of those guys either wrote and composed the music. For Mississippi Found Me and Let's Play Chess. Like I said, Terry wrote a Grammy for my dad. I'd like to acknowledge him and thank him. Michael Freeman, the producer of the EP, he actually is another Grammy-winning producer. So, you know, just to surround myself with this kind of talent and mm-hmm. experience was incredible.
Now, you recorded at Tone Zone Recording Studios in Chicago. Now, that's been around a long time.
That is correct.
Is that Michael's place? Is that his?
I think he records it a lot.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he owns it. Yeah.
Okay, because that's the name that's been around a long time, Tone Zone. JosephMojoMorganfield.com is where you can find out more about him, and even more so Facebook, because you are on Facebook all the time. I put something, I see a smiley face from Joseph. It's like, okay, he's on there.
That's where I promote my music, any gigs coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to reach out and to reach out to a lot of people.
And I think we also need to give some credit here to a lovely young lady who brought you to my attention,
yes,
Connie
yes,
Carroll,
yes.
who is with us today taking pictures. She also helps you get the career going.
Oh, Jesus. Connie, from day one, from pictures to booking gigs to taking me to gigs, just been phenomenal.
She's like
phenomenal.
Your Girl Friday right-hand person. I mean, she's been there for every step of the way. And
she has. She's been to all of the rehearsals, the voice lessons. The practicing, I mean, from day one, either she's getting water from the bands or...
How did you guys meet? Connie, jump on there real quick. How did you meet Joseph?
Keep it clean.
Okay. The truth? I don't remember.
Okay.
He says we met at
the Blues Fest.
Chicago Blues yes. Fest. And I don't remember meeting him. But then we started talking and just...
Went from there.
Yeah.
You've been shooting the blues for a long time. You are at Buddy's Place and all the different blues clubs and have got quite a reputation as a top photographer in the blues circle.
Oh, it's famous.
So it kind of were you working the day you met him? Were you there shooting?
She was working. Yes, she was.
And, as she is tonight.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen Connie without a camera on her neck and in her hand.
I see this long blonde braid. Taking pictures.
He actually took a picture of me at the Blues Fest that
taking
time
pictures.
when he seen me.
Now you shot the cover. You shot everything for him. His promo shots, everything we're using here on these promos. You shot the band shots. Wow. I mean, you've got quite the catalog of his stuff. Most of the website pictures and Facebook pictures are also from him. Anything we haven't said, any shout-outs we have to do? We are just about out of time.
I just want to thank, I just got a tight circle with Connie. I also use Lynn Oberman Weiss sometimes.
Okay.
I use Lynn and Michael Freeman and Terry and Derek. You know, when you got a nice circle, nice people who actually care about you, you know, you can't go wrong. And including yourself,
team.
Tom. I had to put you on the team now.
Good
You're my
team.
Booking agent.
Well, we're going to get you some more dates out this way. And, of course, Slippery Noodle, October 20th, this Saturday. Mojo, yes. Thank you for being here. Again, josephmojomorganfield.com or just Joseph Mojo Morganfield on Facebook. You'll find him. Look for him. Listen for him. Well, babe, leave you with some money.
Be satisfied. I just can't keep on.
Well, I feel like snapping pistol in your face. I'm going to let some graveyard lord be her resting place. Woman, I'm trouble. I be all worried mine. Well, baby, I can never be satisfied. And I just can't keep on. Baby. Doorbell ring, looking for my baby. I didn't see not a doggone thing. Woman, I was trouble. I was all worried mine. Well, honey, I could never be satisfied, and I just couldn't keep.